Wholesalers, welcome to another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Wholesalers, I've been talking a lot recently to my clients and to audiences about the concept of the heart and the head. So, you know, we spend a lot of time talking to our clients about feature benefit, product, product to product, lather, rinse, repeat. We don't necessarily spend a lot of time on that other side of the brain where the heart resides, and that is a place where you could actually make tremendous impact with your financial advisor. Well, as it turns out, I'm having this conversation with one of my clients, and the client says, you know, I just heard a great speaker at our national conference, and I think it's somebody that would make a great person for you to interview on Wholesaler Mastermind Radio. So I went out and dialed up Julie Murphy Casserly. Now, Julie's a 17-year veteran of our financial services community on the advisor side, and she's often referred to as a financial healer and visionary. Now, you may have seen her on CNBC TV, Lifetime TV, Oprah and Friends, may have heard her on the radio. She's been quoted in the Wall Street Journal. She has an award-winning book called The Emotion Behind Money, Building Wealth from the Inside Out. And for those of you in Chicagoland, she is the founder of JMC Wealth Management. Speaks all over the country, has an opportunity to also work with, of course, her very successful book of business. She graduated University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And Julie is the second oldest of 12 siblings. And she says that that gave her her own inherited beliefs about money that she still works through today. So Julie Murphy Casserly, let me welcome you to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about this notion of using emotion behind money for a wholesaler to differentiate themselves, because we're all about differentiation and staying out of that sea of sameness. How do we do that? What does that mean for us there?
Well, certainly one of the things that we need to realize is what is the trigger of the emotion behind money? We have a ripple effect. So if you as a wholesaler are not understanding the emotional components of the end client, which it would be my client, the individual from the general public saying, oh, okay, I have this money. I need to set up a plan. I need to invest these dollars. I need to, you know, protect my estate, whatever your product line is, if you don't understand the emotional numbers behind what they're trying to solve in their life, along with doing the fiscally responsible thing, then it's a lose that sale. Why did that not work out? Well, it's because you're not listening on the other side of your brain or asking the right questions. I find more often than not it's not asking the right questions. I had a colleague of mine, when he read my book, he said to me, Julie, you talk to your clients about these things? I'm like, yeah, all the time, don't you? And he's like, no way. And I think from a wholesaler perspective that if you start to realize what your emotion behind money is, how it affects you in your daily life, how you share that then with your clientele, which are the financial advisors in the world, is, you know, I find the best way to do that is through your own story. I mean, that's actually how I got around compliance with my own book, was sharing my own story. Okay, because so I couldn't share other people's stories. I could only share my own.
So let me help me understand and help me understand for our listeners. So I want to understand, and because I'm hearing this isn't necessarily what you are saying, I want to understand the emotion of my advisor and let my advisor understand the emotion of the public customer. But you're saying, no,
exactly.
I should understand the emotion of my public customer, your public customer, as well as my advisor. So tell me more about that, because I'm not sure I'm understanding the differences between the two.
Sure. Well, I think it starts with understanding your own emotions behind money.
Okay.
And so by doing that, so for an example, because I believe examples are the greatest way to illustrate this, that I, being the second oldest of 12 children, and I'm at the top of the stack, I'm number two, that my role in the family was always to go out, help, create some money, bring it back to the household. I did that all the way down to when I was away at college. I had jobs in college that I sent money home to buy shoes for my siblings for the, you know, feet. And I did that in my business. I then started, I hired employees that were really good takers while I was a huge giver. And I realized those are my friends. I'm a huge giver. They're takers. And so you start to see these patterns in your own life as to how you facilitate with money. And then all of a sudden, when you start to recognize this, you know, I remember when in my practice, when I started to charge financial planning fees, I couldn't believe the volume of people said, oh, I'm sorry, you're not worth paying $500 a year to actually give all this advice. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You should be paying me $3,500. And it's because, again, those clients were takers. So when you start to understand, even you as a wholesaler, look at where, you know, the 20% of your business, you know, Pareto's principle, right, of where your business and your clientele is coming from. It's probably coming from an opposite effect of how you process money yourself. It is amazing to me in our industry how many of us who work in this industry who are fiscally dysfunctional themselves. They are not good at their own personal cash flow. They have tons of debt. I meet people like that all the time in our industry. So you will reflect exactly what you put out into the world. You will get back in exactly what you're attracting.
So how I guess I'm getting stuck, and I don't want my listeners to get stuck. How does that help me connect better with you if I understand my emotional predisposition to money? Because I'm using you for two bits of information here. I want to understand your topic, which is the emotion of money, because it's such an interesting topic. And I really want to get under the hood of what you're talking about here in that as an advisor, I can have an impact on you if I just understand my emotion behind money. And I'm still having trouble getting my arms around that. So can you help me with that?
Certainly. So when you understand your emotion behind money, that opens up dialogue to have that same conversation with your advisors in saying, you know, why are you building a practice? What's important to you about your office? What's important to you about having employees? What's your succession plan? Because you will start to understand, if you understand your emotions behind money and then what your goals and dreams are and being true to your authentic self, you can then help your advisors become that. Because when you as a wholesaler bring to them how they can add more quality of life to their world that has some stuff to do with business, but not everything. I talk about the fact that you as a wholesaler and me as an advisor need to talk to our clientele not only about the financial world and what products you want to sell, but you also have to ask questions about, well, where do you want to take this business in your career? And what about your family life? Are you having enough time with family? What about personally? You know, do you want to travel more? Do you want to do more things? The best wholesaler I have, not one part of the conversation I hardly ever have with him is about the numbers and the products that he sells. It's about, Jewel, how can I help your business get to the next place? And it always goes back to a personal desire that I have, which is an emotional component. Because your emotions are where your heart and your head actually meet.
Right.
And you have to combine those two components.
Right. So clearly he or she is doing an excellent job of understanding what your emotional complexion is and what your drivers are in your business, and he or she is able to assist you with those and move the relationship forward based upon those.
Yes, even if it means there are times that he has told me, you know what, the right thing for this client is to put this into a managed account somewhere else because that'll better serve them long run.
Sure. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, let's in the limited time we have, let's move through some of the building blocks around the emotion of money. So you have this five-step process, this PAC process, and I want to be able to just briefly go through them so people kind of understand how you're framing this house of the emotion behind money. So the first one is to picture what you really want. So give us a brief descriptor of what that means, please.
So this is a critical step that you never, ever want to do anything before you picture what you desire you want to create in your life. And whatever that is, again, I suggest that you break that down into the four components in your financial life, personal, family, and career life, because those will be very different. Now, I tend to be very career-driven, so my career list tends to be a lot longer. I have a husband that's an at-home dad, so he collaborates with me but creates a lot of the family bucket. But I know that family is important for time for me to spend. And then personal life, you know, even though you're a mom and a business owner and employer and, you know, sister or brother or whatever, you still have personal desires. And so what are those things in that 3 to 5 year window? And then even the financial life, you know, I mean, I'm crossing the bridge of having $100 million in assets under management this year. But you know what? I'm already working on getting the $200 million because that's my next goal.
Sure.
And so, but all of those components need to work together because it's about building it from the inside out. Because the center of those four circles is what I call your inner wealth and your purpose. And you want to make every decision out from how you want to navigate your life and picturing what you want. You want to make all those decisions push out from that those desires that you have.
Okay. So the second piece of the equation was to accept yourself in your current reality. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And here's the biggest reason why. If most of us would look at our reality today, we might be a little disappointed.
Okay.
Because most of us have gone, oh, I wish I could have had this. I wish I would have done this. You know, because most of us have things in our past that we wish we would have done maybe a little bit differently. So it's really important that you don't really look at your reality until after you dream. And you just have to be okay with exactly where you are because all those experiences had to occur in your life for you to be exactly the perfect version that you are today.
Okay. And then the third piece, tell us about that.
And that's getting in tune with your authentic self. It's going back to, if you think about when you were a child and you said, oh my gosh, this made me giggle, this excited me, this, you know, got the juices flowing. You want to get back to that place of innovation and creation and having fun again. If you're not having fun being a wholesaler, well, ask yourself why. Or if you're not having fun in your marriage any longer, why? You know, we weren't put here on this earth for it to be drudgery. It's about, you know, if you're in tune with your soul's purpose and who you really truly are, then it should be fun and energetic. If it's life-giving, keep doing it. If it's life-taking, then it's time to change and it's not in alignment with your authentic self.
Okay.
And start to pay attention to those signs along the way because otherwise our physical bodies eventually will take the toll and disease will develop.
So the fourth piece of this was choosing to change.
Yes. It's always about making that choice, that anything in life is a choice. You know, you choose to whether be the top 20% wholesaler in the business and be your own CEO of your own business, or you're going to choose to be just in the pack in the middle 60%. Like, know that that is your choice. It's not about what benchmarks that have been set for you and what your sales quotas and goals are. I would ask yourself that if you're not hitting those goals, what's not in alignment for you? Because you've obviously not made the choice to change yet and really start to step forward towards that desired life.
Okay. And then the last one is the place where you take action.
Absolutely. And that is where you have that strategic plan set up and create those bullet points. You know, I always talk about that you have to clear up your past while living in the present moment and plan for the future simultaneously. All too often in our industry, we're only taught to worry about the future, and it's not the future in terms of short and midterm and long-term buckets, because in our industry, we don't get paid to put people in short-term buckets. We only get paid to put people in products that are midterm and long-term. So the mistake I find so many of us in our industry that make is that we only suggest those other two. And to me, you're missing how do you clean up your financial past, which is cleaning up your debts, living in the present moment so that you're not such a planner. I mean, I'm a financial planner, so I'm always 10 steps ahead. You know, I have to be reminded going, well, what are you doing today? How are you having fun today? And then planning for the future all at the same time. And that is the basis of taking that action because most of us do or do not do things in our life because of where we fiscally are.
Julie, I want to thank you for taking time today and to give us, you know, just a brief sampling of kind of where your positioning is relative to how you're running your practice and how you're running money for your clients and what your message is behind the emotion, behind money. Wholesalers, we will link up Julie's website as well as the book at wholesalermasterminds.com, so be sure to visit there. Julie Murphy-Castley, thank you for joining us on Wholesaler Mastermind Radio.
You're very welcome.
Wholesalers, come back again for another episode of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.